From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. This was the week of Islamo consciousness. Shooting rampages in Denmark and North Carolina, one with a Muslim suspect and one with Muslim victims, raised angry questions of prejudice and double standards in the coverage of violent crime. Meanwhile, the cautious language surrounding a White House summit on suppressing extremism saw its national security agenda overshadowed by a highly politicized debate over language, namely the accusation that political correctness has trumped political reality in confronting radical Islam. Here's Ted Cruz.
The words radical Islamic terrorism do not come out of the president's mouth. The word jihad does not come out of the president's mouth.
The soft-on-terrorism refrain is a familiar one, and as we shall hear later in this hour, probably unavoidable for a president whose words are meant for both domestic and foreign consumption. For instance, Obama was upbraided this week by Turkish President Tayyip Erdogan for not attributing the murder of three Chapel Hill College students to anti-Muslim hatreds.
If you, after an incident, an attack like this, remain silent, the world will also stay silent with you.
It was not merely the president, however, who was accused of double standards in the wake of the February 10th North Carolina bloodshed. In that case, a professed religion hater named Craig Stephen Hicks is accused in the shooting deaths of Dia Shadi Barakat, his wife Yusor Muhammad, and her sister Razan Muhammad Abu Salha. The murders were in a small city, and the victims' names weren't released for 9 hours, so the incident at first received no attention from the national media. But with two Muslim victims in headscarves and the accused gunman's anti-religious Facebook rhetoric, anger and speculation quickly bubbled up on the internet at what seemed to have all the makings of a hate crime. Yet the U.S. media were slow to react. They were scooped by the British newspaper The Independent, and when the New York Times did report the story, it left the victim's religion out of the headline. Critics were quick to compare this with shooting attacks last weekend in Copenhagen, where the dead gunman, Omar Abdul Hamid Al Hussein, was instantaneously branded a terrorist.
Denmark has been hit by a very serious act of violence tonight. We feel certain now that it is a politically motivated attack, and thereby it is a terrorist attack.
Now, that attack took place at a free speech seminar explicitly convened in the wake of the terrorist murder spree at Paris's Charlie Hebdo magazine. Nonetheless, that rush to judgment was conspicuously matched by the Chapel Hill police, who quickly ascribed their murder case to a long-simmering neighborhood dispute free of any anti-Muslim motivation.
Meantime, it was a parking dispute in North Carolina that led to the shooting deaths of three people. Police say
Hicks, they said, was obsessed with illegal parking and noise in the apartment complex, and notwithstanding his loud anti-religionism, was an equal opportunity crank who harassed neighbors regardless of their race, creed, or national origin. An interpretation either duly reported or uncritically embraced by the national press, depending on your viewpoint. Certainly the victims' families were having none of that. This was Suzanne Barakat, sister of one of the victims, on CNN.
Had roles been reversed and the man was Muslim, was of Arab descent, was of South Asian descent, this would have immediately been labeled an act of terror. I haven't heard anyone use the term terrorist here. Why the double standard? He has terrorized our families. He has terrorized our lives. He has terrorized our community, locally, nationally, and internationally. And it's time that people call it for what it is.
Soon, complaints of bigotry and indifference traveled far and wide, echoing the aftermath of the deaths of unarmed black men by police in Ferguson and Staten Island. The hashtag Muslim Lives Matter soon flew across the internet and around the world, inflaming the Islamic State and the president of Turkey sick of the presumption of Muslim guilt.
Just look at this. It's trending with almost 900,000 mentions so far today.
We've devoted most of this week's show to the difficulty of addressing the volatile combination of religion, politics, extremism, prejudice, and perhaps more than anything, language in what they used to call the war against terror. And we'll begin by looking at the word terrorism itself.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.